Well, here we are once again, friends. It's episode 2 of Altered State. Hello, my name is Troy Brewer, and I'm going to be with you for the next hour or so as we get off into true biblical and kingdom principles of spiritual warfare, something way different. I'm coming out with a spiritual warfare book that is called Altered State. And this is a preliminary before all of this kind of stuff, because our book and our teaching is quite a bit different because, guys, we're living in a different day. We really are, man. We're living in a very different day today, and, man, we have to know how to stand and how to take ground and how to run off the enemy. Amen. And today is different. Amen. It really is. Guys, I want to welcome you here today, and I want to invite you. Hey, go ahead and tell me that you're watching this. Hey, Pastor, I've been waiting. Here I am. And let me know where you're watching from. I already know that Joseph is in the house. In fact, I'm going to look over here at this screen right here. Hey, there you are. And I can see Terry Young from Newcastle, Australia is here. Hey, Terry. I call you blessed down there from down under, man. I call you blessed in Jesus' name. Melissa is here, and I call you blessed. Melissa, Renee is here from big time Joshua, Texas. J-Town is being represented within the house. Hey, man, would y'all please do me a big favor, and would you please like this and share this? That makes you a media missionary. It'll help me get the word out, and it also caused thousands and thousands of more people to watch this, including Bill, who is in the nation of India right now. He's watching, and then there's another man. I have another good friend. Ruth is all the way on the Sunshine Coast of Australia. A bunch of Australians here. You know what? That's good. And then we got Heather from the Panhandle of Texas. I see Tampa Bay, Florida. Oh, Kelly Fagan is in the house. Hello, Telly. Kelly, I call you blessed. Telly Savalas, who loves you, baby? I don't know anybody remembers who that was. North Carolina is here, and so on. Guys, continue to let me know where you're at, who you are, and you're going to really enjoy today's broadcast. Friends, I got a bunch of things to tell you. And today, again, this is only episode 2, and I'm setting up a bunch of prerequisites. Now Jesus would say, hey, you have heard it said, or he would say, hey, you know how this works. And I want to be able to get to a place in fighting supernatural warfare and bringing heaven to earth where I can say that. But it's going to get a little bit, because I want to make sure that we're all on the same page, which reminds me, I want to invite you to go to odx.tv. And while you're at odx.tv, look up episode 1 and go over it. It's about an hour and a half long, and it's good. It really is good. In episode 1, we talked about different species. We talked about angels, and we didn't really get off into demons yet. That's a whole nother thing, because there's a whole additional number of species when it comes to the demonic realm, because they procreate and they're not supposed to. Yeah, they're not supposed to, which brings into the whole Nephilim realm, and we will get off into all that kind of stuff. But last week, guys, we actually talked about angels, and I went through 16 different categories that I could find biblically of within the angelic holy category, and also within the unholy category, because many of those are fallen, but they're not all fallen. And one of my favorite ones to recognize is, I mentioned Palmoni class angels. Or there is at least one angel, right on, whose name is Palmoni. And if you guys will look that up, P-A-L-M-O-N-I. And I gave it, I believe it's in Daniel chapter 4, and we talked about it, or maybe that's Daniel chapter 8. And then the Holy Watcher is Daniel chapter 4, or it's vice versa. I'm not looking at my notes right now, but I will here in just a minute. And I tend to have Lex Dixia, which is awesome. It's awesome to have 50 channels on at one time if you're redeemed. If you're not, oh, buddy, what a train wreck you can be. I've been on both sides of that fence. I'm telling you, it's a whole lot better with King Jesus. It sure is. But I want to throw this out there and say this to you, that when it comes to angels, again, we were talking about different kinds of angels, what they do, and that we need to be able to recognize that, because where this is going to go is, like, within the fallen realm, there are things that are just its own thing. And we tend to glump it up into something else, but that's actually not true. There are just things that are just their own thing, meaning you can come across something in the spirit and you go, whoa, I've got no grid for this whatsoever. Like, okay, like a lot of people in these last days where Jesus prophesied in Luke chapter 21, verse 11, that there would be fearful sights in the last days. So yes, famines, earthquakes, rumors of war, which is conspiracy theories, right? Not just wars. There will be wars, but there will also be rumors of war, which means the constant anxiety of fear of somebody's working this, somebody's working that, and this is how this is going, and that's how that is going. And we certainly live in that day today. I need to be able to turn off my, there's a lot of people chiming in right now. There you go. And we definitely live in that. We definitely live in that world. Signs in the heavens, oh my goodness. But there's also in the last days, there will be fearful sights. And in the last days, fearful sights category, my good friend Rick Renner told me that that Greek word for that is phobotra. And it's amazing because in the book of Revelation, there is one angel that I didn't even name in all this. It's Phobotron, okay, which I haven't even got into that yet. But and he wasn't even listed in my categories of angels, but and which he certainly is. But this is Phobotra, and Phobotra means terrifying monster. Like you can literally be out in the woods and see something, and Jesus actually predicted that. And we also talked about the physicality of things that we tend to think of all angels and all demons as poofs. And no, they're not all poofs. There are a whole lot of things within the angelic realm that has physicality. And they could actually change from one thing to another thing. And we see that within the angelic realm that people actually entertain angels and they don't know because they look just like people. I would say that is in the fallen and also in the holy. So that's not just in the holy category, that is also within the fallen category. I was actually doing a bunch of study on this last week. And one of the things that I saw is that there was a guy that was on a certain TV show, and he said that he worked in the pornography industry. And he said one of the most world famous pornographic stars is actually a demon. And he said, you know what? People do not listen. This person was a devil. I'm telling you, was a devil. They're like, man, I don't think so. That's not the Bible. It is the Bible. And we just don't know it. It's just not church. And there are a lot of things in the kingdom that has not been included in church simply because we didn't have a grid for it. But in these last days, scrolls are coming down from heaven. In these last days, seals are being broken, as the prophet Daniel prophesied, and also as the angel of the Lord declared, seal those things up until the end times, and then we're going to break those seals. Well, man, the seals are being broken right now. So I'm going to look over here one more time. And I see that again, thank you, Kelly. I love Rick Riggin. I love Rick Renner, too. I just love him. Jill Joes Jacobs. John Jacob, Jingleheimer Smith. It's so good to see you, Jill. The Triple J Threat is in the house from J-Town, by the way. She's actually from Joshua, Texas. And so Anne-Marie, so good to see you. Sarah Elva, amen. So she said, I have an unresolved question. Right on. Well, there you go. And Annie, so good to see you. Amen to angels. Okay, guys, be sure one more time. Be sure and write these things down and be sure and let me know where you're watching. And please, 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 it changes the algorithm. And if you're watching on Facebook, hit the little heart thing and make those things go do, 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 and make those things go if you would, and write down your questions and your comments. So again, I'm just kind of rehashing a little bit from last week. And again, you can find all that at odx.tv. Now, let's get off into episode number two, because my point I was trying to make was very introductory, even though it was an hour and a half, that there are all kinds of species within the angelic realm. So God created celestial beings and which are heavenly beings, that he wants a heavenly family, and God Almighty also created an earthly family. Okay, well, within the earthly family realm, we have six different races, right? We have all different kinds of races. And then within that, we have all different kinds of classes and designations of human beings throughout the world. Class by nationality, class by rank, class by language, all those kinds of things. And we operate in different spaces differently. So my wife just now got back from India. I know that we have some friends in India that are watching right now. I have been to India a whole bunch of times, I have lots of kids. There's a bunch of Brewer kids in India that we have rescued, and they have the name Brewer, and I've got grandkids there now and all those kinds of things. I want to promise you, India is a different world from Texas. It's got a completely different culture, a completely different language, a completely different lens, and a completely different operating system. What works over here in this realm will not work over there in that realm. And what works in that realm will not work over here in this realm. So we see this, again, a very preliminary understanding, a very simple understanding of within the heavens and within the earth, there are designated realms that are significantly different where their different rules apply. And this is why on earth, some of our prayers get answered and some of them don't. Like, whoa, you tell me God would answer every single prayer concerning somebody that's sick? I believe he would. And like, well, okay, that's ludicrous. No, it is. There's nobody sick in heaven. There's nobody sick in heaven. So our job is to have his will done on this earth the way that it is in heaven. Like, well, then that would mean that nobody would ever get sick. Yeah, whenever Jesus comes back and he gets his perfect will done, nobody's going to be sick. So in the meantime, man, we're trying to press in and we're trying to get heaven involved into this earth, okay? There's nobody poor in heaven. There is nobody being sexualized in heaven. There's nothing demeaning. There's nothing shameful. There is nobody being terrorized in heaven right now. So our job is to bring that realm into this realm, but there is a whole lot of wiggle room for what can happen at any given time. And that's why spiritual warfare, and that's why living a kingdom lifestyle is a practice that we got to get better and better and better at. And it's actually just in how we grow in our relational, just how we grow in relationship to King Jesus. And we actually build up like this bank account, right? We literally, and then we cash in on it from time to time to time to time, man. We cash in on it as we live a Jesus lifestyle. So while I would tell you that if you don't know how to rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus, man, you need to do that. While I would also tell you that, hey, man, you need to understand that the presence of the Lord trumps the presence of any kind of enemy. While I would tell you that you need to understand your identity in Christ and who Jesus is to you and who you are to him, while you need to understand that your mouth is a weapon, that your words are a weapon, I would also say this to you. You need to understand that there's one kind of a demon that you can say to him, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and he goes. And there's another kind that ain't how it works. Jesus himself said, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Why would he say that? He said, because it's a different species. It has a different kind of authority in a different space. And what's real is we don't even know what those things are. It's like I was talking to Joseph Z's wife, who I just love with all of my heart, and she's such a mighty woman of God, incredible. And if you guys don't follow Joseph Z's ministry, man, I want to encourage you guys to do that. Follow his ministry, because I do. I follow him. I follow Todd Coconato. I follow Alan DiDio. There's a bunch of people that I follow, and these guys are guys that pour into my life, and plus I know them personally, and they're all very good friends of mine. But she talked about, man, whenever she got stage 4 cancer and she had days to live, literally days to live, what the Spirit of the Lord told her is this kind will not come out unless you go to war against it. You don't pray for me to heal you. You pray to have the power to tell this thing to go. And she's like, man, when it comes to cancer, you have to confront it and you have to tell it to go. I don't think that all sicknesses are like that. I don't think that all diseases are like that. And again, Jesus said, this kind is different. So you're telling me there's different kinds of demons? There's different kinds of spirits? Yes. And that was what I was trying to establish in episode 1. So if you haven't seen that, man, go there and check it out. Now, here's the next one I'm going to give you. And the next one I'm going to give you goes like this. Not only are there different species and different kinds, right? And mind you, species comes after kind. So it's kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, and species. Kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, and species. So like you can only reproduce after your own kind. And this is how you know. This is how you know if you're the same, if you can reproduce. Okay, that's how you know. And that's the way that God Almighty designed things. So it means you're of the same kind if you can reproduce. Okay, here's something I want to throw at you. Within the heavenly realm and within the earthly realm, there are different species that are of the same kind, meaning there are different, almost like different races, but it's more associated with realms. Are you heavenly or are you earthly that we can still reproduce? And that is Genesis chapter 6. When the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, they took unto themselves wives, which, you know, since I'm somebody that fights sexual trafficking all over the world and have done that now for 30 years, I can tell you that trafficking, slavery, and the sexualization of vulnerable people is hell's idea. It comes from hell. Whereas marriage and honor is heaven's idea. That's not mankind's idea. That's God Almighty's idea. Well, neither is slavery and neither is the sexualization of vulnerable human beings. That's not a human being idea. That is a hell idea. Some demon, some entity came up with that idea. And the Bible specifically says the sons of God. So that's a special class or species within the angelic realm. And they saw that. And that was their idea. And then these limp-wristed knuckleheads throughout the world, they bow their knee to these horribly mean and terrible gods, and they line up with it, and they begin to sexualize the people. Amen. And they begin to all that. So, so then we become in the image of our gods, and it is not Yahweh, it is not the Lord Jesus Christ. See, these kinds of realms of spiritual warfare is a whole different mamba jamba. Now, leading off into episode 2 here today, leading off into that, while there are different kinds of angels, okay, and again, angels is just a title for heavenly beings, okay, that do different jobs. In the book of Jude, quoting the book of Enoch, Jude says, these angels left their first estate. Okay. As we get to talking about in this thing that we are titling altered states, and I like to play on word, going to the altar and changing your state, right on, because we haven't even got into states yet. That's a whole nother thing. But they left their first territory, and they invaded another territory that they did not have dominion over, and they figured out how to gain dominion within another territory. That is the essence of spiritual warfare. That's what spiritual warfare is all about. It is all about who are the players involved and what territory are we talking about. And so today, I'm going to be talking to you about territories. I'm going to be talking to you about realms. I'm going to be talking to you about these kinds of places. So buckle your seatbelt. Here we go. There's a lot of things that make different people rock stars in the Word of God. And I know that term has been offensive to a lot of people. And I'm sorry, but you're limp-wristed, so it's okay. Now that I've said that, now that I've pegged your little cringe meter, listen, rock star, stars of heaven is God Almighty's idea, meaning one shines brighter than another, okay? And the people in the Word of God that shine brighter than others, people like Moses, David, Daniel, those class of people, you have to learn what was their mamba jamba. I mean, what was it? And we can study all those things. I want to tell you, one of the things that if you were like, okay, Moses, what was the mamba jamba about him? Oh, listen, he was extraordinary. I promise he was. There ain't nobody ever been like Moses. Ain't nobody ever going to be like Moses. He's different. He's unique. And by the way, holy means different and significantly different. That's what holy means. It doesn't mean that you cut your hair and you wear a suit and tie all day long. It means that you have a holiness about you or a difference that is significant, and it is of God. And so, man, we're all supposed to be different. Just want to throw that out there. And for those of you cats like, Troy's just too weird. Yeah, it makes me holy, baby. I'm holy. Hallelujah, the Lamb of God. Weirdness is holiness. Amen. As long as it's godliness. Amen. So the thing about Moses, you know, of course, him going into, him climbing a mountain when everybody else was scared. The the encounters he had with God, where he was in a holy realm, he was in a heavenly place for 40 days as a human being. That's a big deal. That's crazy to me. The fact that he led through the wilderness and a rock followed him that water produced out of. And sometimes you kind of had to kickstart it. You had to go out there and beat it up a little bit. And then that got him into trouble because he's trying to kickstart it. That's a whole nother thing. The whole thing with Moses, like what was it? The fact that he was a Jew that grew up in the culture of Egypt, and then he abandoned that because he started getting a vision from the Lord, and he didn't know how to do it, so he murdered somebody. That's how he thought he was going to do it, because he was an Egyptian. He was still thinking inside of an Egyptian mindset, which was all he knew. He didn't know anything else. So you can judge him all you want for beating the fool out of an Egyptian that was beating a slave and then burying him. But that was all he had to work with. So he did that as unto the Lord, and God didn't mind it so much. He really didn't. However, the people of Israel minded it because they still saw him through their lens of slavery. And they were always looking for an opportunity to have an edge up. And they just saw it as an opportunity to have an edge up because they were belittled people. So he had to flee. And then he goes out and then he finds God in the wilderness. And he approaches God, and God says, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. Okay, God said, I'm inviting you into a realm. And that's one of the things that you find that makes Moses a rock star, is he gets to walk in realms that other people did not get to walk in. And so if you don't have a basic understanding of a realm, of how heavenly realms work, you're not going to understand the spiritual warfare that I'm going to be teaching you in episodes to come. So I'm going to throw this out there to you. There are realms. There are different realms within the heavenly places where some realms, some things happen, and in other realms, they cannot happen. And the devil knows this, and he knows that you can actually consecrate. The devil understands you can consecrate a place and transform it into a portal or a realm of certain evil, diabolical, supernatural activity. And they know that. And I'm going to teach you that today. All right. So the thing to me, though, that mostly makes him a rock star is he went up into a heavenly place. God Almighty showed him how things work in the heavens. And then he said, go back and build the tabernacle according to the pattern that I showed you in heaven. And he did it. And that makes him so different than most of us. I just want to just say this to you. You're going to watch this thing, and God Almighty is going to give you an idea. It's one thing for you to be a part of this, to feel the Holy Spirit, to get excited, and to write down a plan. It's another thing for you to pull it off when you're surrounded by idiots. And that's what Moses did. He's one of the baddest cats ever. I mean, it's one thing to go to a conference and to have the Spirit of the Lord change you. And oh my God, it's another thing when you get back and you're among your family and your friends in the land that you, in the territory that you're supposed to bring him. It's another thing, man, to pull it off there. Those are two different things. Moses could live in both worlds. Moses was so compatible with God, he could literally enter into his holy presence when no other human being could, which is amazing. And then Moses could come back, and he comes back with the law and with a covenant that God would be their king. And what was the idea of Israel? We'll worship another God and have an orgy. Hey, that's what we'll do. And you know what he did? He took the covenant of God and he broke it and went, I'm not going to present this to you until you guys are able to get with the program, because this thing is going to be holy. See, when you move into a certain realm with God, you got to get with a certain program. That's what you have to do. So Moses pulled it off. And you need to know this. That's Exodus chapter 25, verse 40, where he said, see to it that you make everything according to the pattern I showed you on the mountain. So you need to know this. There's, when you see in the heavenly realm, you see a pattern, and you're supposed to take note of that pattern. If you're a builder in the kingdom, you're supposed to build things according to the pattern. And now our pattern is Jesus, but we'll get off into that later on. So in Hebrews, he says this, see to it in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, it also quotes it, I'm going to show you the pattern in the heavenly place called the mountain. It wasn't just a physical mountain. He went into a heavenly place Or and you need to know that mountains in the Word of God represent spiritual places. So even though a physical mountain is there, it is also a spiritual realm. And that's why they would always put their altars to the other gods up on the mountains. That's why there's ziggurats always been. That's why the Tower of Babel, because it represents not an earthly place, but a high place. All right, you guys hanging with me? Are all you guys hanging with me? Are you guys still there? Then just top out. I'm still here, Troy, and let me know, and I'll see you here in just a minute. Okay, so whenever he comes down with the tabernacle, he said, okay, it's going to have a covering, because that's the way it works in the heavens. And then he does this amazing things. It's going to have three different designated realms within this realm that different things operate. You're going to have an outer court, you're going to have an inner court, and you're going to have a most holy place. In the most holy place, God gets to do exactly what he wants to do, how he wants to do it. But there's certain qualifiers that have to take place for somebody to enter into the most holy place. And you don't do those at any given place. It's not random. It's very, very, very specific. So in the outer court, you had the public audience, you had the altar sacrifice, you had the bronze laver, right? Outside of that, you have the court of the Gentiles, okay? And that's a whole nother thing. But then you had the inner court, and only Levites and priests were allowed to enter into this place. And you got the golden lampstand, the table of showbread, the altar of incense, and then you got the most holy place. You can only come in there on one day a year. So now there is another specific thing added, not only to the space, but now one person, one day. So you have time, space, and matter being completely lined up and compatible with God's holiness. And if anything was out of order, he'd kill you. Because either you got to go or he's got to go, and he ain't going to go. Amen. So what you find is conformity to his presence. As you go from one realm to another realm to another realm, you have to grow and be consecrated to the conformity of his presence. Okay, there was a way that I was conformed to his presence out here, but I step a few more, I just move inches. And there's a way I had to conform to his presence here. And then you move into the Holy of Holy. The only reason you have authority to enter into the Holy of Holies is because of how you specifically conform to God's presence. And that has to do with time, space, and matter. A certain day a year, one certain person could come into a certain place. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1 that in the beginning, God created the heaven, the earth, the heavens. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, time, God created the heavens, space, and the earth. The very first verse of the Bible talks about, man, you're going to have to get this as far as time, space, and matter, because if you get any of that out of whack, God Almighty is going to have to wipe it out, unless he has given a promise to Eve that he's going to redeem it, which means the devils go, yeah, he's not going to wipe this out, so let's do as much mayhem as we can while he's trying to work out redemption for his people. See, this is how spiritual warfare works. Ooh, I'm doing good. Annie says, Joe, I'm glad you're still here. Everybody's saying hello to Annie. Sounds like a chapter in redeeming your timeline. Vicki Griffin, yeah, something like that. Right on. Thank you very much for reading that book, Redeeming Your Timeline, which is about how to bring his holy presence into your time. Amen. So that it changes your now, even if it's in the future or even if it's in the within the past. Would you scroll back just a little bit, please, sir? I want to see what else is on here. Kathy Bowden, preach on. Thank you. Amen. David, the more you know. Amen. Annie, I see you on here. Matt, I see you on here. Michael, come on. Thank you for hanging in there with me. Amen. Gene King, right on. So good to see you. Okay, let's go off into this next part here. Just want to make sure that you guys are hanging with me. And don't forget, man, if during this or at the end of any of this, if you need prayer, call our prayer warriors at 877-413-0888. Man, we're serious about praying with you and going to battle with you. 877-413-0888. Okay, so in the tabernacle, everybody operates according to the rules of his presence. And so authority has to do, one more time, with your conformity to the presence of God. Maybe if you don't get anything else out of that before we even get off into different realms, because I'm telling you, there are some places you can tell the devil to go on one side of the street and he's got to go, and on the other side of the street, you can't. And this is why it's not about a formula. And this is why, man, you're going to have to learn, and you're going to have to be confronted with the reality of there's something else required of me in this place, because it's all about holy territory. It's all about sacred space. By the way, you are sacred space. You carry the presence of the Most High God with you. And we have to learn how to fight from overflow instead of I got to fight for something I don't have. And in places where you have authority and you're conformed to his presence, and like where two or three gather within my midst, there I am, or there two or three gather in my presence, there I am in the midst of you. That means that there's an additional power to when you are just seeking him on your own. Although there's also a power that happens just between you and King Jesus that can't happen within groups of other people. There's a level of intimacy and power that goes on behind the veil between you and the Lord that deals with bloodlines, it deals with your territories, it deals with how you steward things, and it deals with how you have an authority to speak into another territory that needs to be invaded. And that happens in a corporate setting and also happens on an individual setting. But don't be thinking, hey man, I'm saved and that's all I need to know is I'm saved and I can just run off the devil. You can in certain realms, but in certain places, you cannot. And Jesus himself said that this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. Okay, like what? Okay, we're going to have to get consecrated to something different because there's different kinds of jokers within the satanic realm that you and I would talk about. All right. You know, there are some people that just have authority in certain realms. And I mean, that's all of us, whether we know that or not, but it's like, I took my friend Jamie Cashin to go meet Pastor Rod Parsley, because Jamie had a, you got bad cancer, this is a very aggressive cancer, yada, 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 had that death thing spoken over him. I took him up there to go see Pastor Rod Parsley because I know he has authority in this. I know he does. And he's so gracious to me, and he's such a good friend of mine. He stopped what he was doing in the midst of his conference just to meet with me. Which that ought to tell you something about who he is as a man. He is a good dude. Pastor Rod Parsley is a good, good, good man. He's a gracious human being. And why he gives me the time of day, I will never know, but he does. And I told him, I said, listen, I know that you had throat cancer. I know that you had this thing. And I took him there, and he prayed for him. The next week, Jamie got a completely different diagnosis in 1 week. Entirely different diagnosis. Oh, they must have misdiagnosed that or whatever. No, it was the right diagnosis then. It's just it's not the right diagnosis for now. And that's all about principles of time, space, and matter and all this kind of stuff. But I took him to the man of God that I believed had authority in this one specific subject because he has overcome it himself. Pastor Philip Thornton from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, the same exact thing. He's had the same authority. He's gained it and he beat it. And so, yeah, which I love you, Pastor Philip. I know that you're on here all the time. I love that. So when I do spiritual warfare, there's the kind of spiritual warfare that I do as far as just the man of God that I am and the way that I carry the presence of Jesus. I know my territories. I definitely know my assignments, and I know the things I'm assigned to do. I'm assigned to be a daddy to girls. I'm assigned to be a daddy to boys. I'm assigned to be a protector. I'm assigned and not to be in it, not, and to actually come against how people have been exploited and shamed. And I am a shame destroyer. Hallelujah. I have a special weapon of destroying shame. And that's something that God has given me. And I would have never known that about me had I not known the Lord and had the Lord not given me that. I know that anytime we're talking about timing of things, God, I have an authority on the timing of things, because God speaks to me about the timing of things. And it's a weird thing. I know that anytime I start seeking the Lord about timing, God always meets me there. And there's not a lot of distortion and a lot of noise in that place. Like, why? Because I've got some holy territory there built up. So I have to understand realms, I have to understand territories if I'm really going to be able to. And this, I'm also a man, if I can say this, that travels throughout the world. And I don't travel throughout the world and just assume that I have great spiritual authority in every situation throughout the world. And I just don't assume that, because I know that there's a lot of things that I don't know. I do know that if I am invited into a place and they're like, we recognize you as a great man of God, please come into this place. And if I go into that place where the people there that have authority, they invite me, I have supernatural authority. And you can see that happening in the Bible with Paul. He says, I had a dream and I could hear a certain church say, please come over here, please come over here. And he went there with a great supernatural authority and power because he was invited by the people that were in charge of that territory. So I make friends with the people. That's why I rescue rescuers. I find the people that have authority in those certain regions and those angels. Now, I have authority in the sense of I carry the presence of the Lord with me, and I'm confident within that. But I'm also confident, just like in the description of the tabernacle, there are certain things that can happen in this realm, but it can't happen within the most holy place, and it can't happen within this place, and it can't happen within the court of the Gentiles. Within these designated realms, there are legal actions that can take place. And within another legal realm, there are other legal actions that can take place. This is why I always say this, man. When it all comes down to it, man, the devil is not a big giant warrior. He is a sniveling lawyer, is what it's all about. And if you can dumb him down into that lawyer spray, into that lawyer space, I want to tell you what's higher than the law, the spirit. And he knows that, and he's scared of us. Right on. I had a good friend of mine that I love with all my heart that she was telling me that she was having this supernatural thing, and there was this person that she actually believes was a demon walking around in a physical form, which is highly possible, which happens, right? We do entertain angels unaware, and that's angels fallen and holy, right? And she said that she asked the Lord, should I go and confront this person? And the devil said, no, stay in the house, because the reason he's on that side of the street is because you don't have authority there. Oh, whoa, that is a whole different thing. Yeah, man, listen, I won't leave you, but you can walk out of your arena of authority by going outside of the place that God has given you. And that principle is all the way through the Word of God. That is all about the conquest of the Holy Land. He gave the tribes certain territories and said, and then he told all the tribes, I want you to stay within your territories. And then he also told them this, y'all are not allowed to have horses. You ever notice that? The only time you see Jews on horses is when Jesus comes back for Israel. Why? Because that's always about the conquest of other territories. And he's like, no, y'all can have donkeys, but you're not allowed to have no horses. David didn't ride no horse. He rode a donkey. And Jesus came riding into Jerusalem, not on a horse, but on a donkey. When he comes back, he's coming back on a horse, because that is about the conquest of other territory. God Almighty assigned his people with territories and said, you conquer this, everything within the realm of that. You do that, it'll be really cool. But of course, they're all about going into other people's territories, and they don't wipe out the Philistines. They don't wipe out the Amalekites. They don't tear down the altars to other gods. And then what happens is they find them attractive, and they end up jumping into bed with them. And like, look, this is what we do with our territories. And if you get to thinking that you're so big and bad, you can go off into other territories and just tell the devil to skit, man, you need to read about the sons of Sceva, who they tried that, and the devil said, well, I know about Jesus. Yeah, he's got authority over me. I know about Paul. He's got authority. But who are you? When he says, who are you, it means this. Where's your authority? And he says, you got no story here. Okay, I don't know what went on, but by the time they left there, they were wounded and naked. And that doesn't sound like much of a party to me. So whatever went on, I'm telling you right now, the devil had his way with those boys. And it was ugly. And he thought, well, I got this religious formula. I mean, I hear what Paul says, and I say the same thing. They left there wounded and naked. And I want to tell you, there are certain quote-unquote deities and they are in certain places, and you show up with your religious attitude and say, no, I got the formula. I know what to do. You're liable to leave there wounded and naked, and that ain't good. We're talking about realms today. Yes, we're talking about realms. We're talking about territories. This is all preliminary stuff. And I'm going to get off into some very deep stuff later on, but you got to know these things first. And I want to be able to say in those places, okay, look, this is only going to make sense to you if you understand episode 1 and episode 2. None of this is going to make sense to you. You're going to think I'm a nut. And actually, I'm not a nut. Well, I am. I am actually a nut. And I'm significantly any different, which is one of the understandings of what the word holy means. And so be ye holy, be ye significantly different, be ye holy, be all the way in, no matter what, be all the way in. Amen. Guys, be ye holy. Thanks, David. He said, facts, Troy. Joe Poo. Thanks, Sarah. My name is Jen. Hello, Jen. I call you Jen. I went back to Terry. Could not find it. I have no idea what you're talking about. But Matt's talking about childlike faith here. Thank you, Vicky, for thinking I'm a good nut. Yeah, there's good ones and there's bad ones, but there's good ones. All right. I'm going to keep on talking about this. Now, get ready to have your mind blown. I'm going to take you to a familiar scripture and tell you how real this was in the Old Testament. And they understood, if you're going to serve Yahweh, if you're going to serve him, you have to serve him on his turf because you only have access to him on his turf. This was such a real principle that David, in 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 19, David said, whenever he's talking to Paul, he says, if the Lord has stirred you up against me, let him accept any offering. But as the children of men, may they be cursed before the Lord, for they have driven me. This is what David said in 1 Samuel chapter 26. He was so mad. He said, those jokers have driven me out this day from sharing an inheritance of the Lord, saying, go serve other gods. Okay, how did Saul and his bunch tell David to go serve other gods? You got to leave the territory. You could not, up until Jesus, you could not serve Yahweh outside of the land that God Almighty promised to Abraham. Like, okay, if you're going to walk with him, it's going to be here. It ain't going to be in Texas. It ain't going to be among the northern hordes. It ain't going to be among, you know, the African tribes. It ain't going to be among the Mayans and the Incas and the Aztecs. And it's not going to be among the Greeks and the Spartans and the land of Troy. It ain't going to be out there. It's going to be within this place, within this sacred space. If you want access to Yahweh, this is where you have to go. And this is why God said, you better be good to the sojourner and you better be good to the stranger when they are among us. Because there were people that came from all over the world to serve God, and the only way that they could do that was among the Israelites. And God said, better not run them off, man. They're trying to have access to me. So y'all be good to them, even though they're not Jews. Even though, you know, they talk with a southern twang, even though whatever it is, even though they have no grid for anything we're doing, do not be mean to those people. Be good to them, because the only way up until the Lord Jesus Christ that we could have access to Yahweh was you had to be on the sacred space. Here's another example of that. I'm going to go to 2 Kings chapter 5. Now look, you know the story of the leper, Naaman. And he goes to the Rodney Dangerfield of all prophets, and who gets no respect whatsoever. And by now, he's an old dude in a crude mood. And he's Elijah. He goes to Elijah and says, hey, you know, man, I got in my house of slaves, my culture that I come from, one of my really cool little Jew slaves that I have told me that, hey, man, I know that it's about to become public that you have leprosy. I know a prophet in my home territory that if you go there, he can heal you. So he shows up in all of his royal, listen, I'm going to bring all this money. I look cool. I'm a bad motor scooter. And he shows up. And what's so funny is Elijah doesn't even come outside the house. He's like, dude, I'm watching Archie Bunker and I'm sitting in here and I ain't got time for you. You know, take a hike, hit the road, Jack. And he says, no, I came here. Look, I'm a big deal. I'm a big deal over in Persia. I'm a big deal over there. And you got to please heal me. I heard from one of my slave girls. Mind you, he didn't bring the slave girl and set her free. That's the thing that's always blown my mind. I mean, he has the audacity to show up. I mean, he has such an entitlement about him. Okay. Man, you think these jokers that are on TV and all these protesters that think that they're so entitled. Listen, that's a Babylonian Persian kind of mindset is what that is. And it comes from the demon and the God that they serve. And so he shows up. He doesn't show up with, hey, look, I've come in good faith and I'm going to set this little girl, this Jewish girl free that I have enslaved. And I promise you, the only way she could be his slave is if she was super good looking. So she's probably a beautiful Jewish teenage girl. And let me tell you how she would know he has leprosy. She's seen him with his clothes off. That's how. So if you read into this story, it's not good. It's not a good story at all. But he doesn't even show up with her. He doesn't even show up with her. He just shows up and said, dude, I got money. I want to meet you like this. Please come out and heal me. He says, hit the road, Jack. And he says, no, I'm not going to. He says, okay, I'll tell you what. Then you go over to the Jordan River, which at that place in the Jordan, it is just a little muddy trickle. It's not this big raging river, and it's dirty. It's filthy looking. And this is a place where Jesus was baptized, the very same place. This is a place where Israel crossed over the Jordan into Gilgal, same exact place, that holy territory. It's also, then there's a bunch of crazy things that have happened there. It's also where Elijah entered up, where he met, that happened at the same exact place. And so he tells Naaman, you go there. So he goes there and he tells him, dump sometimes. He's like, dude, we have a holy river. That's a lot better than this river. Why can't I use my own river? And they're like, well, because you're not using that God. You're using this God, and this is his river. This is what a big deal holy territory was. And so he does. You know the story. He comes up out of the water the seventh time, and dude, there's no more leprosy on him. And he comes out. He comes back and says, okay, dude, please let me give you this money. I got all these clothes I want to give you. I got all this stuff. I got big stuff I want to give you. And he said, no, I'm not going to. But then he says this. This is your Bible. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. So Naaman said, well, then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth. Stop. What does he want? He's like, I need some dirt from this territory. Please, because I can't stay here. I got to go back. I am also a slave. I'm also a slave to my God King who worships another God. So he says, let me load up 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifices to other gods, but to the Lord. Stop. He knew he could not have access to Yahweh unless he had the dirt of Israel. It's in your Bible. It's right there. Meaning there are sacred realms. And before Jesus Christ filled us up with the Holy Spirit and said, go into all the world, the only way you could have access to Yahweh God was within the realm that God Almighty had promised to Abraham. It was within borders. This is why borders are a big deal. Man, when you see demonic people going, hey, put down your borders, put down, that is a, listen, there's a deity, there's a demon that is telling them to do that. This is a big deal. So he says, I'm not going to serve any other gods. I'm only going to serve Yahweh from now on. I am loyal to him, but I'm a Persian. I have to go back to this place. And then he says this, yeah, in many things, may the Lord pardon your servant. And I'm also going to tell you this, because I'm hoping he'll still give me access to him because I love this God. Because when my master goes into the temple of Ramon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of this other God, when I bow down in the temple of this other God, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing. He goes, look, I got a job, and my job is my king goes into this very unholy place, and he literally worships another God, and he does so in a way where I'm the one he takes there with me, and he leans on me. He literally leans on me. Here's what I want to do. I want to take some dirt from Israel into that unholy place. I want my knees to be on it, maybe under the rug or something. Maybe it's on me and I hold on to it. As he's leaning onto me, I'm holding on to this sacred ground where I have access to Yah. I will talk to Yahweh, and I'm the servant of my king. I have to do what he tells me to do, but I'm hoping that Yahweh will still pardon me of this great sin, and I want to have access to him. Okay, guys, that is in the Bible, and that's how real the whole holy territory thing was. So what about this? Whenever Moses comes into the presence of Yahweh, whenever he does, how about this? You guys are going to love this. He comes into, and God says, take off your shoes because you're on holy ground. Okay, what is that? Okay, it's a couple of different things. Number one, I want your feet to actually touch the ground of this holy place. Number two is, I don't want the dirt from an unholy place coming into the dirt of this holy place. Leave your shoes out there. Before you step in, you got to leave your shoes because, see, you pick up the dirt from these other places, and this place is holy. Like, what? Okay, what about this? I hope that your wheels are spinning on this, because this is a different kind of consecration. Whenever Jesus is talking to us in Matthew chapter 10, he says this: if the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you or hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say unto you, it'll be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that fair city. So there's this principle where Jesus says, if you want me to be your God, you have to let me wash your feet. And he did that physically. There's a principle that if you go into a place and they will not receive you, because see how it was when Jesus came up out of the Jordan, the Spirit of the Lord descended upon him like a dove, peace, and remained upon him and did not return, because he was compatible with that. But if you come across some people that are like, yeah, I don't mind you coming in here and sharing the gospel as long as I'm allowed to still be into pornography, as long as I'm allowed to cheat on my wife, as long as I'm still allowed to blaspheme the Lord, well, that if they're not compatible or worthy, here's what I want you to do. When you leave that place, be sure that you leave that territory in that territory and do not take that with you. By the way, if you give them your peace, if the Spirit of the Lord descends upon them like a dove but does not remain, if they won't stick with the program, if they're not willing to repent, if they're not willing to take it to the next level, if they're not willing to get consecrated, here's what you do. Take off your old shoes and do this right here. Get all the dust out of it before I send you to the next camp. That is a really, really, really big, 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 big deal. Oh, my gosh. So go back to the holy territory of God Almighty creating us. So God creates mankind, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 2, we got a different story. Rather, that is a different story from Genesis chapter 1, which I tend to think that it is, or a different story than just the general story of Genesis chapter 1, which most people think that that's the way it is. I tend to differ. But in Genesis chapter 2, when you have the creation of Adam, God forms Adam, not jointly with the sons of God, not with other entities, which, because they have no power to be able to create anything, he doesn't do a collaborative effort. He does a secret effort by himself, and he creates Adam out of what? Out of the dust of the earth. Out of the dust of the earth. And then out of that holy place, he puts his Holy Spirit into that sacred space and says, this one here belongs to me. This one is my territory. See, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are holy territory. You are sacred space. The outer court, the inner court, and the most holy place is you walking around. Your soul, your body, and your spirit. That's you walking around now. And there's certain kinds of warfare that happen within those certain, and there's certain things allowed within certain degrees that are not allowed in other certain parts. Ooh. Come on, sister. So then, but that's not all he did. He created him out of ground, out of the earth, and said, so that he could say, this is what you're created out of, and this is going to be your turf. Furthermore, I'm going to now put my heavenly Holy Spirit into you. Boom. That makes you my territory, and now I'm going to give you a specific assignment, the garden, and it's holy, and it's uncorrupted. And you're holy, you're uncorrupted, you're living on the earth, and up on the earth, I've given you the assignment of the garden. But there was one that was more subtle than all the other creatures. There was a plant from the enemy in there, and it was, quote-unquote, the serpent, which if you look in any kind of mythology, a flying serpent is always representative of a god, a little g god, an unholy entity, that an unholy person from God's created heavenly family. And but this one, see, was also trusted with the garden, but he was a plant. He was a plant, and he was waiting to rebel against God. And how he rebelled against God was to simply get Adam and Eve to rebel against God. And it worked. It was really genius. See, he hadn't fallen yet. He was in the garden. He hadn't fallen. But he was more subtle, meaning he had another agenda. So that tells me that not only did not all things within the demonic realm, not only have they not all fallen at once, there could still be some right now that haven't fallen yet. And there could be another incursion. And I mean, isn't that true upon all earthly creatures? Yeah. It's true that we're all in a fallen world, but it's true that there's also, too, people that defect from the kingdom. I believe it's A.J. Marzulli says that on Blurry Creatures at the beginning of that. And he says, look, he defects, talking about Nimrod or Gilgamesh. He was a person of God. He had a realm. He had an assignment, and he defected from God Almighty and became a slayer of men in the face of the Lord. And he tranced. You know what? All the ancient books say that he became 17 feet tall. That's what the ancient books say, that Gilgamesh became 17 feet tall. And he became this supernatural God king, a God king, just like what Xerxes said that he was. He was a God king who had transformed, or he became a mighty man, and he came from a long line of God kings, which is a Nephilim kingly bloodline. Seed war. At the beginning of the seed war, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, he tells a woman, he says this, and then he tells the devil, he says, I got news for you, pal. You're all about reproducing a seed, but I've got a seed through the bloodline of Adam. He's coming after you, and he will manifest 77 generations later as the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will smash your head like a rotten pumpkin. That's what he's going to do. All right, well, that's true. But he also told the serpent, dust shalt thou eat. So what that means is he's literally able to feed off of how much of our life is dust, as opposed to how much of our life is the Spirit of the living God, which is made in his image. So these are all principles of warfare. And whenever I first start talking to you about, let me tell you, and we're going to talk about worthy opponents. So we're going to hear pretty soon, I don't know, probably around 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 2007, I don't know, episode. I'm going to get off on, and then every single time we do this, we're going to do this. Let's talk about how do you do spiritual warfare against this? Okay. What if you're seeing something really demonic? I mean, something's showing up in your room. Like, you hear things like I said, like the Hat Man. What the heck is that? Look, you know, it doesn't surprise me people see weirdo stuff at all. Jesus said, in the last days, you will see fearful sights. In the last days, you will indeed see, what is the Hebrew word for it? Phobatra. You're going to see it. They're going to be made manifest. So how do you deal with some these shadow things? How do you deal with voices? How do you deal with all of a sudden everybody in your family is confused? How do you deal with sickness? How do you deal with this? All these worthy opponents, man. We're going to talk about the worthy opponent of financial crisis, which is the spirit of poverty. There is a spirit of want and poverty, a spirit, and you can partner with it. And I'm going to tell you how I came out of that. And I want to tell you, it's one of the greatest, one of the biggest devils that God Almighty has had to remove from my promised land is the spirit of poverty. I still have to pay bills. I still have to fight financial battles, all those kinds of things. Don't think that getting rid of a spirit of poverty doesn't mean that you have to be engaged in finances, because you do. But I don't live with the poverty spirit anymore. And I don't partner with that spirit of poverty. And I'm going to talk to you about that. And I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, I think it's a pretty big deal to actually in one year of your life to sell millions of dollars worth of books. That happened to me in 2017 after I had an encounter with King Jesus in 2016 and after I turned 50 years old in 2016. See, in the timing of my life, I had to get past 50 years old to be able to walk in certain things that I'm walking in right now. And even though that money didn't come to me personally, it's my money. I steward it, and we bought rescue centers, and we built teams to be able to rescue kids all over the planet Earth. And since that time, since that great amount of finances came to me, which up until 2017, I never even had a savings account. That's how poor I was. And that's just a few years ago, guys. That's just a few years ago. And because I partnered with the spirit. Okay, I'm wise now. I'll never partner with that spirit again, ever. I will not partner with it. And it tries to get back on me sometimes. The Lord has been so gracious to me in being able to fight a sexual spirit that comes against all people, comes against every single one of us. But God Almighty's been really gracious to me. And he's been so good to me through all that, where I don't have that spirit. And I want to tell you, nobody that I work with, nobody around me has that spirit. Because I don't put up with it. I can spot it. I can spot it and I can smell it. And I go, no, I know what that is. Do not partner with that spirit. Okay, well, these are worthy opponents, though. And if you give it space or place, that's why the Bible says, do not give place to the devil. If you don't understand realms, and if you don't understand spiritual territory, and if you're not willing to start thinking on all these things, you're going to be, you're going to have your hat handed to you by something that might be wearing a hat. Hallelujah. All right, let's see here. What else do I have for you here today? And then you know what? I think I will actually look over. This is good. Ephesians 6. Man, you got to have your feet clad with the gospel of the preparation of peace. Man, you have to prepare your feet. You have to prepare your feet. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Luke chapter 10, verse 39. Notable verses. Ponder the path of your feet. Proverbs 4, verse 26 says, then all your ways will be sure. Okay, these are talking about spiritual places, not just physical places, but these are actually talking about spiritual places. Psalms 119, listen to this. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Yes, it is. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Is it really? What time is it?
I'm trying to see. The camera is always in front of it.
What time is it? Dang, we've been doing this for an hour and 2 minutes. I'm just getting off into all this. My goodness. All right, I'm going to turn over here, and I'm going to talk to you. And then in just a second, man, I am about to pray for everybody. So look, in fact, I think I'll just do that right now because I know that there's a lot of people here. And I want to pray for you. I want to pray for Lisa Ferris and Donnie Griffey, who's watching in Virginia, and Angela. I want to pray for Vicki Griffin. I want to pray for Jolene. I want to pray for Terry Gill. I want to pray for David, right on. I want to pray for Hannah Hardy, my daughter in the Lord, Hannah. I sure do love you. Sarah Spencer, I want to pray for KG, right on. Thank you, KG, man, for putting up with me. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, I got to give you something really supernatural that took place here. And then I'm going to pray for everybody. So get ready right where you're at. About 60 seconds, I'm going to be praying for you. Sometimes if I'm working late on Saturday night somewhere, I will literally just spend the night here at the church because I've got a really cool office. I got a big couch. It's very comfortable. I got my own bathroom. It's really cool. And not too long ago, I had been out at the racetrack, at the dirt racetrack in Kennedale, because I have a race car out there. And I sponsor Troy Cooper's number 22, the Cooper Racing Brothers race car. And it's got Troy Brewer Ministries on it, and it's got Redemption Ranch on it. And me and Barrett had been out there. So, man, I went out to that, and so I don't get back until like 1 o'clock in the morning. And then I got an hour drive home, and then I got an hour drive back to church. I'm like, you know what? I think I'll just sleep a couple of extra hours is what I'll do, and just sleep here on the couch. So I was doing that. In the middle of the night, I woke up thinking, oh my God, I slept late, because I could hear the band. I could hear the band. Now, you need to understand that I'm a musician, and I've been a musician since I was a little kid. When I listen to music or when I hear a band, I can't help but listen to the key that it's in. I can't help but listen to all the little nuances of the different band members that are playing and understand the timing of it, if it's a minor, if it's a major, and what kind of song it is. I don't hear music the way that everybody else hears music, because I'm a trained musician. Okay, well, I heard it and went, whoa, man, I don't know that song. God, that is beautiful. Dude, they're singing. Our harmonies are perfect. So I got up. My hair is everywhere. I think, oh, the band will think it's funny to see me in such a rugged state. I've been awake for less than a minute. I get up, open up the door. It's so loud. I come to the curtain and boom, no music. It stops on a dime like that. And there was no music in there. Okay, I promise you, I heard the band. And I didn't just hear it for a second. I heard it for a while. And the music was still, when I opened up the door, it was 10 times louder. And then I walked there. As soon as I went through the curtains, it was over. That was an angelic music team. That was worship that was happening at Open Door Church. And the Lord let me in on it. And I was in there. And of course, the sanctuary, the whole big room was completely dark. And I'm standing in there in the dark. And I'm like, whoa. It's just like Jacob waking up. Man, this is the gateway to heaven, and I didn't know it. Right on. But the music and the worship was coming from the sanctuary of Open Door Church. Okay, what I do with that, number one, is I just begin to worship the Lord, and only my voice could be heard in there now. But I knew that there was another sound in another realm in the same exact space that I couldn't hear now, but I could have heard it just a few minutes ago. And so I was like, yes, I praise the Lord. I worship God with all of his heavenlies and his holies, and declare the goodness of the Lord. And I just start praying like that. Okay, you'll understand things like that a whole lot better if you'll understand different kinds of angels and different kinds of spaces. And this has been my attempt in 2 hours of teaching, in the first one and episode two, on bringing an introduction to that. So now I'm going to pray for you. Father, I want to lift up every single person, God, that is watching right now. And Father, I pray, Lord God Almighty, sir, for every person all over the world that is watching, and I declare a brand new awareness and a brand new ability to be able to be in sync with what you're doing in every realm that you have given us to steward. I pray, God, for a brand new compatibility. I pray, God, for a brand new holiness and a brand new way, God, to walk with you concerning how we are to have next level authority in spiritual places among spiritual beings in high places. And Lord God Almighty, sir, I want to lift up every single person and just declare, Father God, sir, give us a grace not to be afraid. Give us a grace not to be cocky. Give us a bold confidence in you that is based upon the Lord Jesus Christ and your holy word. I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus over every family of every person that is watching. I rebuke the devil over the finances and over the emotional settings and the states that people get into. And I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and I declare, God, that today is a day of great breakthrough. Father God, so release your angels, no matter what species, into all realms concerning us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Release your angels into all species for the performance of your word. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. How about them apples? How about them apples? Right on. Well, guys, I want to tell you, I am loving this. And again, there is going to be a book that is coming out on all this, books and workbooks and all those kinds of things. I think that probably just today, if you like what, man, own the takeaway. As a matter of fact, go ahead and pound out. What is your takeaway from today? Is it that sacred space is a big deal? Is it that Moses was a rock star because he could pull off what God showed him in a heavenly realm in an earthly realm? Is it the Naaman? Is that the thing that blew your mind, that he wanted to take back dirt so that he could remain loyal to Yahweh and he couldn't outside of that space? Which he could now, but he couldn't then. And again, we'll get off into all these kinds of things. You guys remember, you guys, when I was in Chiapas, Mexico, we were on our prayer mountain. There was some kind of a demon, some kind of a regional spirit or regional entity that took on a physical form, would switch in and out, looking like a tree to looking like some kind of a monster. And it could look over from his territory into our territory, but he couldn't come back and forth. And once I began to call him out, he didn't like that because he didn't want to be seen. Again, he's a coward. He's a coward. He wants to operate in total confidence from the places he knows he has authority. That's what he wants to do. Friends, I want to encourage you, be a warrior. Be a warrior in the name of King Jesus and go after these things and the territories that God has trusted you with. Amen, amen. All right. Guys, listen, before I close, I want to remind you, man, continue to support our ministry. Hey, if you are feeling like it's the Lord, and I want to talk into this camera right here, if you are somebody and you feel like, you know what, God wants me to partner with this ministry, I believe that that is. Guys, we just rescued a 12-year-old child on Wednesday night, and there's not a week that goes by that we don't take in a new child, which means we take in so much more expenses. And guys, we have over 4,000 children that we have rescued under our care at this very moment, and our numbers are growing daily. This is way bigger than me. This is way bigger than you. But the two of us together, Jesus says that he is in our midst. And that is the power. That is the power of partnership. Please call the number. Call 877-413-0888. I really need some big financial breakthroughs to take place because I've said yes to a whole lot of things that need to be finished. And you're like, oh, Pastor Troy, like, how much money you need? About $4 million. About $4 million to finish everything that we started and to complete all those things. You know, the world doesn't mind campaigning for $4 million. You know, Zelensky walked into the White House when Joe Biden was propped up, and he walked out with $100 billion one time. And then he came three other times, and he left with $50 billion. $50 billion, $100 million, $100 billion with a B. Zelensky walked in there and walked out like, good, who in the world could do that? Well, Zelensky did it. He sure did. And then now I tell you this, too, that pornography is a multi-hundred-billion-dollar a year business. And here we are, the people of God, rescuing over 11,000 people and wondering, is it possible for God to give us $4 million? It most certainly is. And maybe you can play a part in that and be an awesome and be an incredible giver. Simply go to troybrewer.com and give on there. Or you can call the number 877-413-0888. Or if you're a snail mail guy like I am, you can mail that to P.O. Box 3775, Burleson, Texas, 76097. Guys, God bless you so much. And I call you guys blessed. I'm going to go out. And if you're excited about this, wait till you see what's coming in a couple of months. Watch this. We have spent two full days filming here, guys, and now we're going to begin the editing process. But the unedited version, guys, is going to be camped out at odx.tv.
Nations going against nations.
What we're seeing actually unleashed on the earth right now.
It's this hopeful expectation.
But something charging directly at us.
Anytime the name of Jesus was mentioned, these beings would flee in terror.
Bell worship, sex magic, human trafficking, pornography. It's actually all a part of the very same things. And friends, we are not afraid to talk about it.